For Lyman Ag Supply and the Family Vision Center, both in the Cass County area, and myself, Bob Ebensee, this is the Conservation Report with Grant Jelly, our Conservation Officer for Cass and Adair Counties on this morning's Conservation Report. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning, Bob.
Bad news in the world of upland birds. It's been terribly slow.
Yeah, it's been kind of discouraging. We had our opener here this past weekend, and I spent a lot of time behind the steering wheel covering hundreds of miles in both Cass and Adair counties, and probably ran into about 30 hunters, I would say, on Saturday, the opener, and I only spoke to one guy who'd actually had any success. He'd killed one rooster pheasant, so a lot of disgruntled hunters out there, and it's been tough. There's no two ways about it. I think a lot of the frustration or tough hunting conditions has to do with the amount of crops we have in the fields yet. That's kind of providing a lot of cover for birds, and they've just got so many places to be. So that's one of the things. And plus, the temperatures were fairly good on the opener. It was pretty cool. It was a heck of a lot better than last year. I remember last year I actually checked some pheasant hunters in T-shirts. the conditions were a little bit better, but you know. All is not lost. Don't throw in the towel just yet. We've got a long season ahead of us, and you know, as the year goes on, the crops start to disappear, and the temperatures get cooler, and maybe even we get a little snow here and there. It's definitely going to make those birds concentrated to those good habitat areas. So don't give up just yet, and keep after it.
You bet. It's like in fishing. You got to keep a line in the water. No doubt about that. The problem with standing corn, the population is now so high in it, and the rows are so narrow that you can't really walk a cornfield and expect. Even if you could do it, you wouldn't expect to get a shot if you were in there.
Yeah, it's tough, and you know, we've talked numerous times about how advanced farming practices are nowadays, and with the herbicides that are used on the fields, doesn't provide a lot of cover after the corn is harvested. So the fields can be relatively clean, but you know, it's kind of a good time to concentrate on the CRP areas and any places with native grasses and just overall good cover. So I'm still hearing that the quail numbers are pretty good this year, and I've seen some coveys of quail myself. So there's lots of time left, and you know, maybe a good reminder for folks to go to the DNR's webpage if you're interested in a public hunting area. We've got all those areas listed on there, and just kind of wanted to mention to folks that we have IHAP areas, which is the Iowa Hunting Access Program, and these are basically private landowners who've entered into an agreement with the state, and we go back and we do the habitat work for them as long as they're willing to allow hunters access their property during the hunting season. And these can be some exceptional areas. They've do some good renovation work on it, put a lot of CRP practices into good use. And so go to the Hunting Atlas online. It'll show those IHAP areas on there. And we've got two of them in Cass County, and we've got some in bordering counties that are relatively close too that you can get out and take advantage of. So don't overlook those areas. They may be new, but they may have some birds on them.
You bet. And the same rules prevail. That's like private land, even though they do need to let you hunt, but you need to talk to them, get permission to be in, I would assume.
No, actually, you don't need to get. Those areas are well signed, actually. We've got some spots there where we ask hunters to park at. And you'll have one of the things that is different about those than other public areas is we ask hunters to fill out a kind of an information card when they're leaving. Even if they didn't kill any game, we still want them to fill that information out for us so that we know kind of how well people are doing on the areas, if they enjoy their experience, or if there's any improvements that we can do to those places. So take the time to fill those out. But again, go to that Hunting Atlas online, and it's a neat little system there. You can kind of bring up Google Earth images, and all those areas should be really well signed, so you shouldn't have too much trouble staying on those areas.
Okay, sounds good. What about along the Missouri River? The counties over there, they probably got quite a few of those hunting areas down in that flood area.
Yeah, they do, and of course you've got Corps of Engineer properties along that part of the state too, but yeah, those can all be found. You can search by county, and we try to concentrate on areas or particular counties that don't have a lot of public land access. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, Cass County, we've got a couple of those. Adair County, we don't have any IHAP areas, but it seems to be a little bit more public land over there to take advantage of. So I know we've got some in Cass, we've got some in Audubon. I think Shelby may have a few. So a lot of the surrounding counties will have those IHAP areas. You just got to kind of do some homework and find out where they're at.
Yeah. Okay, let's go deer hunting. What if you hit a deer with your car? What do you need to do?
Well, fortunately, we live in Iowa. It's not what if, it's when you hit a deer.
Exactly.
But, you know, this is the time of the year where the rut's fast approaching, and, you know, you don't have to drive down the road very far and see a big blood spot in the road and know what happened there. And a lot of people are starting to have accidents with their vehicles and hitting deer. And one of the things that you must do is, if you hit the deer and you're wanting to take the deer and eat the meat, you got to contact either a state patrol or conservation officer so that we can get you the proper paperwork to take that animal home. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have people who don't go through those steps, and they load the deer up and they go home. And, you know, we need information as far as where the deer was hit at, you know, the sex and all that stuff of the deer itself. And so you gotta make the right call first and get the permission to do that. One of the things that we don't do is we don't write the salvage tags just for antlers. So if a big buck's been hit on the road and he's got a massive set of antlers on him, don't expect us to give a salvage tag strictly for the antlers. That salvage tag will be for the deer itself. If you choose to do something different with the carcass, so be it. But we have to write those things for the deer carcass themselves. So don't think you can cut the antlers off of a deer along the roadside and give us a call and get the proper paperwork, because it's just not going to happen. So give us a call, or give the state patrol or local law enforcement a call, and they can set you up with the paperwork to use the deer meat.
Mm-hmm. The deer are really into rut. The bucks are fighting quite a lot. Big story on Channel 7 the other night. Two deer got locked up down a little creek, and one of them was slowly killing the other one, but he couldn't get it loose, and they managed to get them separated. That happens quite a bit, and you need to call somebody to has some expertise to get. They finally ended up roping one's back legs and stretching him out, and then cut one of the tines off. And yep. You had your buddy down south had a little experience like that too.
Yep, Adam in Page County just this past week, same scenario. Two bucks locked up. Only one of them was not as fortunate, and he had already died. And yeah, so we get those calls every year. It's not uncommon, especially in areas where you can see a long ways and don't have a whole lot of forest. So, you know, that's a situation where you don't want to run in and try to saw it off or whatever, because you can get seriously injured by these things. So mm-hmm. We've had some success shooting antlers off before, and that may be a trick that's used. I've seen people use pole saws if they can get close enough to them and cut one of the antlers off. You know, don't think you're going to be able to walk up there and talk to them and ease an antler out of there, because that's a recipe to get kicked or gored somehow. So we don't want to see that happen.
I've heard over the years that deer hooves can do a lot of damage. They're sharp, and they can hurt things.
They're very sharp, and you know, just think of the power of those two animals. If one of them has already been killed, you know, that's something that is stronger than a couple of men going in there and trying to wrestle him around. So yeah, the rut is certainly just around the corner when you see that stuff starting to happen.
Okay, so and we'll be into shotgun season. What, we're down to about a month, so things are going to happen.
You bet. We'll have a lot more information going on in regards to that, and we'll talk about that quite a lot here in the next few programs.
You bet. Okay, not as we speak, but at 8 o'clock this morning, the trapping season opens up. They moved that some years ago, back from opening up on the same day as pheasants. That was a major confusion. They changed it. That seems to be working real well.
You bet. Yep, that starts today, November 4th at 8 a.m., and that'll run all the way through the end of January for certain species. But not hearing a lot of good reports again this year as far as fur prices go. Raccoons prices are not not going to be hot. So, you know, when we have fur prices really low like they've been the last few years, we don't have that many trappers. It just kind of goes with the territory. But coyotes, I've heard reports that they're going to be another desirable fur this year, so the prices could be fairly well on them, which is good news. We hope that we get trappers out there actually targeting coyotes, because without having many natural predators on their own, it's kind of our job to keep their numbers in check. So that's one of the things that we may see some people going after. And you know, you can always kind of tell when the fur prices aren't going to be good, especially raccoons, because I'm seeing one about every mile on the highways now. Yep. And when the fur prices are high, you don't see that. People are picking them up as fast as they're finding them. So, yep, it's you know, there's still going to be some diehards and some people who just enjoy trapping. They get out there and take advantage of it, which is good, because you know, that when they take those fur bearers out of the population, that's good news for our turkey populations, our pheasant populations, our quail populations. So hope that there's still some people out there passing the tradition on. And you know, bobcats and otters are going to be another one that they get some special attention to, because it's kind of relatively a new season yet for us here in Iowa. So you've got 7 days if you catch a bobcat or an otter to give your conservation officer a call, and we'll get with you and get a CITES tag placed on that critter. You can catch one bobcat a year and two otters. So give us a call if you catch those things, and we'll kind of work with you to get tags on the pelts themselves.
You bet. Getting into ancient history, I suspect before you were even aware of anything, I think it's been about 30 years ago or so since we had real high fur prices on raccoons, and yeah, guys were going out after work and hunt till 9 o'clock, 9:30 with the dogs, and they were racking up some big bucks. They were about $30 to $35 a pelt. That's a lot different than five.
That's good money, particularly during the 80s. I mean, that's, you know, I've heard stories of people putting themselves through college or buying new vehicles on fur prices. So yeah, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see or enjoy those kind of prices again, but who knows. It's all about fashion in other countries is why our fur prices end up the way they do. So but again, it's kind of a lost art in places. We don't have the number of trappers that we did in the 70s or 80s, but fortunately there's still a few of them out there getting after it.
Okay, so you can start this morning at 8 o'clock.
There you go.
Okay, climb a few creek banks. It's not an easy sport.
Nope.
And you got some pretty strict rules about where you can put traps along the roads and fence lines, and you need to get the book out and read those rules.
Absolutely, and make sure you got labels on your traps.
You bet. So. Okay. For Lyman Ag Supply in Lyman, Iowa, and the Family Vision Center here in Atlantic, this has been Bob Evensy along with Grant Jolly, the conservation officer for Cass and Adair Counties, on this morning's Conservation Report.